Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Your Best Life. I am your host, Dr. Joan Irvine, a doctor of clinical hypnotherapy, a cannabis and sex educator, and a community leader in Redondo Beach. My mission is to help people have their best life, no matter what their age. It may take some effort and even maybe learning new fun skills, but it is worth it. Today, we're going to be talking about my favorite subjects, sex, orgasms, and how cannabis can improve our sexual pleasure. In fact, I believe that orgasm is like Viagra for women, and we have a doctor who's going to be talking about that. Even I've been amazed at how much more intense my physical and mental connection is with my partner, and the resulting orgasms are amazing. But no, I wasn't always orgasmic. I enjoyed sex, but it was just okay since I rarely had an orgasm. Then one day in the mid-80s when I was living in San Francisco, I was watching a show with Betty Dodson, Sex for One, and Joni Blank, Good Vibrations, a sex toy shop. I was recently divorced and open to new experiences. The next day, I ran to Good Vibration and bought a vibrator, Hitachi Magic Wand. It's been my savior. It changed my life and pleasure. I learned what an intense orgasm was, and that I just needed more stimulation to my clitoris to have an orgasm, and that was okay. Since then, and yes, for the last 40 years, I always orgasm when I have partnered or solo sex, aka masturbation, self-pleasuring. So you could imagine how excited I was to learn about Dr. Susan Mulvihill and have her as my guest. Dr. Suzanne is a clinical sexologist, an orgasmologist, I've not heard that word before, and the executive director of the Female Orgasm Research Institute, a 501c nonprofit organization dedicated to conducting research and identifying scientifically based treatment to reduce the persistent high percent of women suffering from orgasm difficulty and its comorbid conditions. She also chairs the Women's Cannabis Project, a public policy initiative dedicated to getting female orgasm difficulty added as a condition of treatment with medical cannabis in the United States and countries worldwide. And she is being successful. So let me welcome Dr. Suzanne, and thank you for arranging your schedule to talk about your work with female orgasm difficulties. So please tell me about yourself. Tell me about your educational background.
Thank you so much, First Stone, for having me on your show. I have a PhD from the International Institute of Clinical Sexology in Miami Shores, Florida. I just finished my degree in October of this past year, 2023, and I have an MBA and a bachelor's in social work from Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida.
Wonderful. I mean, that's a really diverse background, from sex to business.
I mean...
Well, what, having been, I gather, you know, having been in business and social worker, why did you choose to focus on sexuality, orgasms, and cannabis? And what is female orgasm difficulty, FOD?
Okay, so I'll start first with what is FOD. FOD, they call it in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, they use the word disorder, female orgasmic disorder. I prefer to use the word difficulty because it's a stigmatized disorder. Is a stigmatized word, like it is with PTSD and trying to get post-traumatic stress disorder changed to post-traumatic stress. I just drop the word disorder. So that's the difficulty. Is any woman who has orgasm difficulty, I would say, more than likely knows it. And there are different types of, they're called subtypes. I'm going to kind of use a combination of the DSM manual, meaning there's anorgasmia, which they call in the DSM lifelong, and I don't like that word either because I don't think it's lifelong. I think it's anorgasmia means that a woman has not yet had an orgasm in her life. The second type is called situational, which really is meaning a woman can have an orgasm in some situations, like partnered sex, but usually it's that she can have it during masturbation or self-pleasure and not during partnered sex. That's more of the typical pattern. Or she can have it one way through oral sex, but not through penetration. So, you know, that's called situational, or I like to call that partnered sex orgasm difficulty. And then the third one is acquired, meaning she used to be able to orgasm, and she can't any longer. And often that can, or she can't at this time, let's say that. And that can be related to SSRIs and different types of medication. I've also spoken with women who had surgeries, who lost their ability to orgasm through different types of vaginal reconstruction surgery, issues with you know, the reproductive organs that affected their sexuality. So how I got into this was through my own orgasm problem that I had for 30 years, and saw 4 sex therapists over that time with intermittent, I would say, success. Like trying to, it was kind of like, just give me the solution.
Yeah, please.
Tell me what to do. And, you know, for me, I think it had to do with childhood sexual abuse, which I later found out through my research because I did a dissertation. I did a dissertation on cannabis as a treatment for FOD because I found out that I could orgasm through cannabis. It was a surprise because I was totally against cannabis. I was not one ever who would have used it. Was raised in the culture of, you know, cannabis. I remember seeing the commercials of your brain being on drugs with two eggs frying. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yes, I do.
You remember that? Yeah, I think it was in the Nixon era where there were two eggs frying and they were like, this is your brain on drugs. So I decided to go the good girl route. Anyway, which didn't really help this orgasm. So I found that I could orgasm with cannabis, and I sold my company and went back to school to get a PhD and study if this really was could be a treatment for something that other women were suffering from too. And what I was saying about sexual abuse is there's research that the number one sexual complaint of women who have sexual abuse histories, whether it's as a childhood or rape or sexual violence, is orgasm difficulty. Oh. The ability to let go and surrender.
Interesting. Now, with having had this and having come through it, is there anything else that helped you? I mean, you heard me talk about vibrators. I talk about sex toys and lubricants and, you know,
yep.
I'm a doctor of clinical hypnotherapy, so I talk about the mental aspect of it. You know, so what are the other things that you do, or, you know, kind of how do you work with people?
Okay, very good. So right now I'm conducting research, and I presently don't see, like, individual clients. I mean, I just finished school in October, and I'm working on public policy, which we can talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you through interviewing women, through women contacting me, I had a 76-year-old woman contact me last week who had not had an orgasm for 30 years and was going to try cannabis. She was married for 56 years. So the point I want to make is that what you were asking me is what else helped me. So I went out on a mission to develop what was called a pleasure practice, you know, to really change the wiring of my brain. Because you can get stuck in a thought pattern, which is, like, they call it cognitive distraction. Am I going to orgasm? Am I not going to orgasm? You know, when women get caught, and I have had it too, in a thought pattern of, it's like you can kind of forget the orgasm if we're in our head and not in our body.
Yes.
So I had to retrain myself, like, you know, through different forms of meditation, using the other hand, the self-pleasure, trying different strokes, trying fantasy, and but committed to really knowing, I guess for me at that point, I realized that sex therapy wasn't going to work because I had already tried it 4 times for over 30 years, and it's like, okay, I got to... After I heard about Rinpoche, I don't know if you know of him, he's a Tibetan monk.
No.
He's a Tibetan monk who had gangrene in one of his legs, and he was told to amputate. And by several doctors said, you're going to have to amputate. And he went to his master, the Buddha or whomever, and said, meditate. So he meditated, and he meditated. The bottom line is he healed his gangrene. And my thinking was, well, geez, if this guy could heal his gangrene with meditation, I can heal my orgasm. So meditation was a part of it in terms of learning. It's changing the brain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just, you know, maybe for some women, like for you, you had mentioned just you needed more stimulation. And in some cases, that can be the case. But if it's the mental block where the body will not let go and surrender, that is a different, that's like, it requires some sort of an altered state, which
mm-hmm.
orgasm is an altered state of consciousness. So being in an altered state through hypnosis, through meditation, through cannabis, through fantasy, and learning how to access altered states and surrender in them, like surrender to an altered state.
Oh, I definitely understand that. I mean, when I learned about adding cannabis, I mean, I was already involved in, you know, my practice. I had already learned the importance of lubrication for me, the stimulation from the vibrator. But what I ended up doing with cannabis, and I absolutely loved it, is I would just start off and I'd have like a cannabis drink. And it would just relax me enough, and then I could kind of start to focus on the pleasure and the touch. You know, I would use it as a ritual and to get my mind and my body, you know, together, and also with the mind, to have the mind focusing on the pleasure and not everything else that was going on around me.
Absolutely. That is the critical piece. And women especially,
know.
You know, with this cognitive, they call it cognitive distraction is actually the terminology.
Oh, interesting.
Of a main aspect of women having difficulty orgasming is the cognitive thinking and the distraction. So, you know, and it's interesting because the definition for male orgasm doesn't have altered state of consciousness in it. That, like, in women's definition, the one, there's multiple definitions, but the one met a lot, a consensus of an agreement, was that it was an altered state of consciousness for women. And I just found that, I believe I'm working on developing an altered state treatment model for sex therapists to assist women, because I don't think the talk is enough. I mean, I've done enough talk therapy to know that it didn't solve the orgasm problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just kidding. You know, on my own. And I mean, I interviewed women who said, nope, that it didn't work for me either. You know, so if we can, and we know that altered states are healing.
Yes.
And so, you know, whether it's cannabis-assisted orgasm, fantasy-assisted orgasm, you know, like you talked about, being like, because you use cannabis, so you understand what we're talking about. That you can, we women talk about that, how they can actually surrender to the sensation and to the feelings that are going on in their body, and then orgasm happens. It's not something to, in my opinion, achieve. It's something to allow the experience, like to surrender to the experience of the sensation, of the state of absorption that we're in.
Now, with that, I mean, and I think, and obviously that's some of the work that I do, you know, with the mental and, as you said, the surrendering to it and just enjoying it. How much of that do you think is psychological versus physical?
So do you mean how much of the ability to surrender is,
FOD, kind of.
Oh, FOD? Oh, I think I would say probably a good 90%. have to do with psychological blocks, that have to do with childhood, being taught about sex. I talked to a woman last week who signed a contract at 13 years old that she wasn't going to have sex until marriage, you know. And then we deal with groups in, I think it's in Vietnam, where the father builds a hut, a sex hut, for his daughter, these certain tribes, and I could send it to you, where, so she can explore sexually as a teenager. So I think, as women, as we begin to experience sexual and sensations, to shut them down right away, because we're going to lose our reputation. At least that I was of that era. We'll lose our reputation. And you know what's ironic? I know a woman who did experiment sexually, and she still ended up with an orgasm problem because of the shame.
Oh, yeah.
That was attributed of her exploring her sexuality. So it's kind of like we were damned if we did, and we were damned if we didn't.
Oh, absolutely. I went to parochial school, Catholic school. And so you could imagine, you know, we were told that, as you referred to, no, sex was bad until we got married. And that's one of the things, it's bad, 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 your reputation, people are going to know about this. But then as soon as you're getting married, you're supposed to just love it. And that does not happen from a psychological basis. We don't do that switch. And so people have to get over that where it's okay. And especially for women. I mean,
I totally agree. And this was, you know, Dr. Eric Goud, who started, he pioneered the first cannabis and sex research back in the 70s and, or 68, 69, early, long time ago, you know, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how it released inhibitions. And even back then, there was like, oh, are women becoming then promiscuous with cannabis? We better watch out for that too. Like, what is this? Like, us poor women, like, trying to control our sexuality. And the one thing they can't control, that's the one thing.
Oh.
They can't, society can't, I mean, they try to control it, but look what ends up happening is we end up with difficulty orgasming from societal control, and I won't even get into the topic of religion. Leave that one alone.
That would be 2 or 3 hours, and we don't have that long.
Yeah, leave that one alone. We already know. Science already has proven that religion, you know, that religion, I mean, I'm not going to, there is research on that it inhibits women's sexuality. Maybe men's too, you know, but I know for sure, I've read research, so I'm not saying that just as an opinion. It's actually been researched.
Okay, did they talk about what the men had to do when they had hair growing on the palms of their hands from masturbating? No.
The men, too. I mean, I think it's even stricter for men. I mean, for men to have an orgasm problem. In fact, they changed the name of it in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. They took out male orgasmic disorder. It doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
It's now called delayed ejaculation.
Oh.
So there's controversy around that because it's not really a delay. If they're having an orgasm problem, they're having an orgasm problem. So I think, you know, in a sense, society made it a little more difficult for men by not even having a term.
Wow.
To address the problem.
Well, of course, a delayed ejaculation actually helps some women like me that require a lot more stimulation.
I actually like it.
So I think it's great that men can be taught how to delay their ejaculation, or it's called edging. And so, but that's a whole nother thing. But no, men were taught, I always call it, it's like wham bam, thank you ma'am. You know,
out of their own dealing with shame of masturbation, and you know, that and taking it from masturbation into the bedroom, of it being a wham bam, thank you ma'am, and you know, that doesn't work really for women. But you asked about the physical, so I will give you an example of the physical aspects of orgasm, when it is a physical issue. I had one woman I interviewed, for example, who had 3 surgeries that had ultimately changed the shape of her vagina.
Mm.
And sex became painful. And she said she started looking for a solution online. And then she came across cannabis potentially being something that she could explore. And I just, you know, the short story is that sensation began to return. It took her almost a year of trial and error, just really like trial and error with the cannabis, with, you know, with kind of taking, I don't like to use taking control of her, but just learning how to not surrender to the problem, but surrender to the solution. Mm-hmm. So she was on a path, and it took her a year to get her orgasm back. So sometimes it can be actual physical. One woman lost her orgasm ability having one of her ovaries removed. Now, whether that was that was psychologically based because of a physical problem, I don't know. But she got her orgasm back right away, like the first time she used cannabis. To where many women just stumble on it. They don't even realize, like, oh, let me try this. One woman took a hit with her dad, for example. You know, she had a stressful day at work. She said, oh, let me have a hit. She goes home with her husband and has sex and has the first time ever being able to orgasm during penetrative sex.
Wow. That's amazing. And I would love to talk a little bit more about that. But at this point, we're going to need to go to commercial break. And when we come back, we will continue talking with Dr. Suzanne about FOD and cannabis and how what we can do about it so we don't have FOD and we have more pleasure. So we'll be back in a minute.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
I've heard of Bose for years, but I thought you had to be some electronic geek to appreciate the superior technology and sound that Bose is famous for. Well, I'm not too proud to admit that I was wrong. I found out that Bose is an advertiser on HealthyLife.net. So I just clicked through to check it out, and now I'm proud to say that my home is equipped with superior technology and amazing sharp and bold sound through my solid and compact Bose Wave radio and CD player. Thanks to HealthyLife.net and Bose, what a difference a click made.
So what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder. Don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Your Best Life on HealthyLife.net. I am the host, Joan Irvine, and I am here with my guest, Dr. Suzanne. Now, we're talking about female orgasm difficulty, FOD, and how cannabis can help. Excuse me. And Dr. Suzanne is one of the world's experts on this topic. I have a question for you. How much do you think is FOD is affected by the fact that none of us were really taught about sex? It's like you're supposed to not have sex, and then all of a sudden you're supposed to have sex, and it's great. Nobody's told you all the pleasure centers and, you know, and the things that you can be doing to enhance your pleasure. I mean, do you think education is an issue, and what can we do about that?
Well, I think education is a huge issue, and I mean, social cultures and the social structures around minimizing the education around sexology. And I think what we can do about it is begin to look at it as a health issue versus the sexual issue. Like, put it in a larger scope. I mean, we know that up to 41% of women worldwide have FOD, orgasm difficulty, and this statistic hasn't changed for as long as really they've been measuring it, which, you know, we have statistics going back 50 years that show that this orgasm problem had existed. In fact, in Time magazine in 1954, there was a cover story called The Cold Women that talked about women who had frigidity. And I just, oh, my God.
Excuse me, I remember that.
It's horrifying. But, you know, to think that they're being good brides and they're being virgins and then they have vaginismus and they can't allow, you know, penetration because they've been such a good girl that their body won't allow any penetration. So, you know, I think our society actually causes these orgasm issues. And, it wasn't always that way.
Oh, well, you know, it's interesting you brought back the Roman times and all that. I just wrote an article, a blog, and I mentioned the fact that, you know, women back in those times, like, say, the Venetian times, it was the courtesans who had all the power.
Yes.
And the women.
I told my daughter I'd want to be one of them.
That's exactly. You know, if I was to come back at a different time, I always thought I'd be out in the West and I'd be running one of these brothels because, you know.
I mean, they were the ones that got to get educated. They were the women who were allowed to be educated.
Yes.
So there's actually a great movie called The Courtesan that's based on a Venetian courtesan who, you know, the Catholic Church tried to, I don't know, have her banished or killed or something. But it's quite a good. All the men stood up for her. I don't want to give you the whole story, but.
Yeah. Oh, no. I've seen that, and that's a good one. And plus, all the women are jealous because they didn't have any power. They couldn't do any of this. And so they used to put them down because they were envious of them. So.
Well, I think sexuality is power.
Yes.
I mean, when I interviewed these 40 women through my research, that 20 of them had orgasm difficulty and that they don't hardly ever, which we're kind of getting into my research, so I'll let you kind of lead me instead of going into that.
Oh, well, you might as well. That was going to be the next question, to talk about your research. So tell me more, because you've conducted research and it's titled The Assessment of the Effect of Cannabis Use Before Partnered Sex on Women with and Without Orgasm Difficulty. Wow.
Correct.
A long name, and that was just published.
It's a long name, and it took almost a year. It was in a peer-reviewed journal, Sexual Medicine, following almost 4 years of conducting the research and preparing everything. So there were 387. We had over 1,000 women reply to the survey.
Wow.
And we used what was called the orgasm subscale questions of the female sexual function index that measure orgasm frequency, orgasm ease, and orgasm satisfaction. And we did that with and without cannabis use before partnered sex within the last 30 days. So there were 387 finalized surveys, and 52% of the women reported orgasm difficulty before partnered sex, which 202 women, and 185 did not have orgasm difficulty. And what was fascinating, Dr. Joan, was when I began to analyze the data, it was crystal clear that women that didn't have an orgasm problem, they're going to orgasm whether they use cannabis or not. Where the majority of women who had orgasm difficulty reported that they almost never orgasm without cannabis before sex, and the largest group of women reported that they almost always orgasm when they use cannabis before sex. So clearly, and not only that, it was statistically proven in the results, in the analysis, that cannabis improved orgasm frequency, ease, and satisfaction. Like up to 70% of women with orgasm difficulty, a little bit more, I think it was like 77%, showed an improvement of orgasm in frequency when they used cannabis before sex, meaning if they went from I almost never orgasm without cannabis before sex and I almost always orgasm with it, or I a few times orgasm without it and I most times orgasm with it, so that's the dimension of frequency, and also improvement in orgasm satisfaction and orgasm ease, meaning it was easier to orgasm. And those were the main results of the study. And also women who had a mental health diagnosis or a sexual abuse history with or without orgasm difficulty had a more positive orgasm response when using cannabis before sex. So that's another one of the the key findings of the study.
Love it. I want all the women who are listening out there and all of their partners to listen to this. This is so important, and it will change your life, and at least the pleasure in your life.
And I think what's really important to know is that mine was the first study that dichotomized women with and without orgasm difficulty. No other studies, sex studies with cannabis ever said, did you have an orgasm difficulty? You know, probably, maybe because it's so shamed in society. I wanted to ask the question, and women clearly answered it. But my research results aligned and supported 50 years of research that showed that cannabis helps women in all these in these areas of orgasm satisfaction, orgasm ease, and orgasm frequency, in addition to just helping them be able to orgasm if they have difficulty.
Well, can I say, you're asking these questions, and one of the things that I do when I talk to people, especially women, and I've been asking them, and your data, I think, is showing this also, is I say, when you go to the gynecologist, I said, has your gynecologist ever asked you, do you orgasm, how frequently? No. They do a pap smear, they do all that, but they never ask you about your orgasm, or at least the doctors I've gone to. And I want to talk about that in a little bit more, but we do need to, once again, take our commercial break. And so when we come back, we'll continue talking with Dr. Suzanne about FOD and cannabis and, a little bit about, how women, the doctors, really haven't been serving us all these years. So we'll be right back and tune in. Keep on tuning in.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bock. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Your Best Life on HealthyLife.net. I am the host, Dr. Joan, and I'm here with my guest, Dr. Suzanne, and we're talking about women and orgasms. Now, one of the things that you know, we're she's done so many things, but I just want to say that we were talking a little bit, you know, off radio about how when you go to a gynecologist, has your gynecologist ever asked you how many orgasms? Do you have orgasms? Do you have difficulty? No. All they do is, okay, let's see, pap smear, you're having a baby, do you need birth control, do you need HRT? But they really don't talk about orgasms, which just frustrates the heck out of me. And, you know, and I'm sure that you see that in your research.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is kind of where it's up to women to start saying, I want to talk about my orgasm. You know, if we can break this shame ourselves by saying the thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm having orgasm difficulty. What can you get? How can you help me? And the reality is, Dr. Jones, that there have been no new treatments for orgasm difficulty in like 50 years. There's only one validated treatment for FOD, and that's for women who've never orgasmed, which is called directed masturbation by Lopiccolo and Bopiccolo. So it's a program, like a 9-step program that was directed, that's, like I said. But there are no validated treatments. There are, for the majority of women who have orgasm difficulty, there are no conventional medications. So it's, you know, it's even by these facts show the hiddenness and the lack of research. Also shows that, like, society's accepted it as a shamed and we don't talk about it condition. And it's just, it's not okay because it does affect our lives.
Absolutely. And that's why I'm so excited about the work that you're doing. And also
Thank you.
That you're going to be doing more research. You're going to be doing a randomized control trial with your research partner, Dr. Jordan Tisler. And
we're working towards that.
And people, I want people to know he is an instructor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. And he has been, from what he has written and researched and put on LinkedIn, because I learned about him through LinkedIn. He's been a major supporter of the use of cannabis to improve people's sexual enjoyment. So tell me a little bit about how did you connect with Jordan and what are you going to be doing with him?
Well, that's a great question. So I actually never met him in person.
I haven't either, so.
No, I've never met him. But I, when I started my research 4 years ago, I Googled cannabis and sexual function, cannabis and sexual dysfunction, and he came up. So I contacted his office and said, hey, I'm doing a dissertation on cannabis research for female orgasm difficulty. And I'm looking for a dissertation advisor, and he called me back and became my dissertation advisor, and now he's the vice president of the Female Orgasm Research Institute, which is my nonprofit. And we wrote that journal article. I wrote the article, and he's been a great support. It's co-published with him, the research article that we were just speaking of, the assessment of the effects of cannabis on female orgasm.
Wow, that to me is so. I'm from California, so awesome, cool. But for women, wow, this is just fantastic. Now, you're also, you had mentioned that you're working on a book, and you're going to be planning a program to train other therapists who want to help women with FOD and cannabis.
Correct. That's correct. And I was asked to do like a question and answer Zoom call, like for women who are experimenting with cannabis or want to try it. So women can sign up on my website for, if they want to get information about that, on femaleorgasmresearch.org. Right up in the front it says subscribe to the newsletter, and right there I'll be making an announcement. They can subscribe, and I'll make an announcement about when I'm going to host that Q&A. Start hosting Q&As for women who may want to explore it or have questions about how does it work or I'm afraid of using it or whatever. So,
okay, could you repeat that again, your website again?
Yeah, so it's femaleorgasmresearch.org is the website. And as soon as there's a pop-up, it talks about, there's a pop-up that talks about, they can just subscribe.
Okay, now, wonderful. Women and men, I want you to hear that. and I want you to attend this and learn about it. Now, what is the other, if people want to be in contact with you, whether, you know, just to be learning about more of what you're doing, or if people hear this and the news want to get in touch with you?
Send me an email. I mean, they can send me an email at info@femaleorgasmresearch.org. That'll come directly to me. I was on NBC in Connecticut a few weeks ago, and then on the news, and a woman found me through the website. She went to femaleorgasmresearch.org, contact us, and there's my email, and she wrote me an email. info@femaleorgasmresearch.org.
Okay, I mean, because I think it's so important, because women just haven't had a safe place that, you know, they could just ask questions without feeling, as you said, that shame that comes with it. And they still kind of whisper and kind of
agree. I think when there's a saying about when the pain outweighs the pleasure, I mean, that's kind of how I popped out of this whole thing, with out of my own shame and out of, is we heal. I think shame gets healed collectively. That's how my shame got healed. It got healed through working with a group of people, like having a good group of women and a good support network. It doesn't have to be just women. It can be women and it can be men.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the matter is, you know, it's healing that shame, because the shame is,
you don't even have to say, you know, that every woman can relate to that sound, you know.
Oh, you heard it.
I heard it. And as I said, we can
I had it. I had it for a long time. And, you know, and it can be well masked in professionalism, or deciding just we don't like orgasms, we're not going to have them. You know, I mean, I've seen women who just became uninterested in their orgasm, which is another just a mask for a way to deal with shame, or the way to deal with not being able to orgasm. I mean, you know, I personally believe that, you know, women have like 3 times higher chance of getting Alzheimer's disease than men in their 60s. You know, and no one ever screens for orgasm difficulty. And what does orgasm release in women? Oxytocin.
Oh, I love it.
What is lacking in Alzheimer's disease? Oxytocin.
Oh, my God, I didn't know that.
So, you know, if we were to start screening women and doing a study on Alzheimer's and saying, hey, let's do a longitudinal study for, you know, and get these women orgasming, because it's really affecting their cognitive ability. Like, if we start looking at this from a mental health issue versus just, I have a friend who said to me, oh, we really shouldn't be putting, you know, government money into helping women have more pleasure. I said, Tom, this isn't about pleasure.
Oh, my God.
It's about their mental health. Their well-being.
I so agree with you, and I hate to have to say this, but, you know, we're going to be having to conclude this part of talking to you, but I so want to thank you for being here, for all your great work that you're doing, being a guest here, and the thousands and thousands of women that you're going to be helping have a much better life, having their best life. So thank you. And
thank you so much.
Oh, and thank you. I just want people to know about this. And obviously, with all your research, we're going to be keeping in contact. And I would love to have you on another show that you can inform me about more of the things that you're learning that help us and help women have a better life. So thank you so much, Dr. Suzanne.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jones. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful as a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
So in an emergency, who do you call?
You, Mom.
Neighbors teach their children the rules of personal safety. Don't go out alone. Always let an adult know where you're going. Say no if you feel threatened. And please, have a current picture of your child.
Hello, I'm Eve Schiff.
And I'm Alexa Schiff. My dad, Congressman Adam Schiff, wants your children to be safe.
So be smart and teach your child the basics.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Your Best Life. Wasn't Dr. Suzanne amazing in the work that she's doing to help with women's orgasmic disorder or difficulty, and the work that she's doing and the information she's putting out there? Wow, absolutely loved it. But this is the time that I talk about stuff from Redondo. And, of course, I always talk about keep the Esplanade beautiful. Keep the Esplanade beautiful. We have first Saturday sweeps that we clean up the Esplanade. We meet at 9 o'clock, first Saturday of every month, and at Avenue I and the Esplanade. We pick up trash. We're asking other groups to join us. We've had the Cub Scout, PAC 555, the Beach City Health District, USC alumni, the school board, and Leadership Redondo is going to be in August. So we're currently looking for other groups who want to participate. So, please contact me at joan@joanirvineconsulting.org if you're interested. Also, KEB, Keep the Esplanade Beautiful, is going to be hosting its annual community fundraiser mixer on October 16th. It will be at the Napa Room at HT Grill, as it has been for the last several years, thanks to Paul Hennessy. And this is our primary fundraiser each year. We need sponsors. We need raffle and silent auction items. So please contact us if you have those. We're also looking for people to volunteer for committees and board positions. So if you can help, go to keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org and go to the contact page and send us your information. We love to be reaching out to the entire community. Also, recently, if you've been listening to the news, I've been speaking about the issues of some of the young e-bikers. Some of them have not been following the rules of the road, but also some of them, and these are just a few, but they've been physically attacking people, and even threw fireworks at people at the Hermosa Beach Pier Plaza. And you can read more about this on Facebook under Joan Irvine. So please, if you have kids, make sure they know the rules of the road and make sure they're behaving, because some of the other kids aren't, and they're spoiling it for everybody, and it really does come down to the parents. Also, we've been talking about cannabis. Well, guess what? You know, the same as for too many years, Redondo Beach is dragging its heel about legalizing stores and delivery. There are so many, and excuse me, I'm going to use BS excuses, even though Redondo Beach voters have voted for cannabis twice. But the delays have caused other issues. The lack of legal stores has grown the black market, which sells untested products to seniors and children. Plus, this has forced people to have to drive to Lomita or Gardena to buy legal cannabis. And now that you have learned that cannabis will improve your pleasure, sex life, and relationships, I know you're going to be rushing to the store to buy product. If you live in Redondo, please tell your city council member to speed up the process. We want dispensaries here in our town. Plus, these continued delays have cost us jobs in Redondo and affected people's livelihood. You know, it's even affected me. I had to find clients outside of Redondo since the city had been delaying since 2017. but especially for the last 3 years. So it has affected Redondo and our budget, and they're going through a budgeting process, and I don't even want to go there. But just know they are looking at issuing a bond and increasing taxes because we don't have the tax revenue because, guess what? We didn't allow, you know, the dispensaries in town, so we've lost all of that money. Also, for those of you, I want to thank all of you who listen to my show. Your Best Life has 115,000 monthly views. I mean, I was just amazed at that. So now I'm looking for more advertisers. And know that the audience is 70% women who are over 40 and have a higher income. Is this your target market? If it is, then you really want to contact me. And also, what's great about HealthyLife.net, they will accept cannabis advertisers, which a lot of media won't. So if you're interested, email me at joan@joanirvineconsulting.com. Also, check out my blogs, Ask Dr. Joan on drjoanirvine.com. I talk about what's going on in Redondo, what's going on about cannabis and sexuality, and then I always talk a little bit more about the guests that I have on my show. So once again, if you have any questions or comments, you know, please email me. Let me know. We need to talk about this stuff. So it's joan@joanirvineconsulting.com. So it's really important. I think you've been hearing through this show and you'll hear through other shows to be able to talk about things, to be able to talk openly about things and not feel that shame and not be concerned. And one of the things that I love, like with Dr. Suzanne and myself and a number of women I know, and Dr. Sue from last month, I mean, not Dr. Sue Taylor, Mama Sue from last month, you know, that we have to be out there. We have to be standing up for ourselves. You know, we have the power now. We know that we can be doing this, and we also have the platforms to get out there and to be requesting things, talking about things, not feeling the shame that we've had, what they've tried to have us have for so many years. And you deserve to have great sex. You deserve to have a good life. You deserve to be able to do whatever you want to be doing. And to be asking yourself, what is it? What are your goals? What do you see yourself doing? I mean, I redefine my goals, or I call them chapters. And actually, I will say this, I'm going to be turning 76 this month. And so that I think it's important for you to realize that age is not a barrier either. That you can be out there no matter what age you are, no matter what sex you are, no matter what you're doing. You can get out there and you can stand up for yourself. And by doing so, you are helping other people. So please take charge of your changes. If something isn't working for you, then make a change. I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know, you don't want to, there's a term that the term of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Does not happen. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you may need to make some changes in your life, but guess what? It is worth it. Instead of complaining about something, do something about it. In fact, I talk to a lot of people and they bitch, and they bitch some more. And, you know, the one thing that people I know and what I do is, I'm not that I don't complain about it, but then I'll go, hey, what can we do to improve this? What can we do to make the change that's going to make things better? And then what kind of action can I take? Just like the action you're going to be able to take when you listen to Dr. Suzanne and her webinar when you sign up for it. Or you can, you know, go to my LinkedIn, you can go to Facebook, you can go to Twitter, Instagram, Nextdoor. And I just talk about the issues. And some of the issues are around Redondo, where I'm very active. Some of the issues are around sexuality and what you can be doing. And some of my, you know, focus is also, as you know, is on cannabis. But whatever it is, do something, contribute back to your community. And if not just for yourself, think about your children and your grandchildren. You are the ones that can make this the better world for them. And In the meantime, it makes it a better world for yourself. So once again, you know, until next time, live your best life. To health, happiness, hot sex, and now with what you have learned today, more orgasms. Yay.
The ocean and its beaches are one of our greatest treasures, and Redondo Beach in Southern California brings joy to millions of people every year. But we need your help. Keep the Esplanade Beautiful is a charitable organization that makes a positive difference in how the Esplanade looks by keeping it clean. They're looking for Saturday sweep volunteers, the first Saturday of every month. Meet at 9 a.m. Pacific time at the Esplanade and Avenue I, and bring your friends. Keep our Redondo Beach beautiful. For info, visit keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org. keeptheesplanadebeautiful.org.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
I've heard of Bose for years, but I thought you had to be some electronic geek to appreciate the superior technology and sound that Bose is famous for. Well, I'm not too proud to admit that I was wrong. I found out that Bose is an advertiser on HealthyLife.net, so I just clicked through to check it out, and now I'm proud to say that my home is equipped with superior technology and amazing sharp and bold sound through my solid and compact Bose Wave radio and CD player. Thanks to HealthyLife.net and Bose, what a difference a click made.
So what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder. Don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.